whatever was done in the prison was Joseph's doing. Guess what? He reorganized the whole prison system. Wow. In Egypt, reorganized the whole thing. Until everything that was done, they knew Joseph's hand was there. And there was thousands upon thousands of prisoners. And do you realize it was a harder job than Potiphar's house? Because here you have the hardened criminals. All the worst kind of people you can, who don't obey orders. I mean, in Potiphar's house, if they don't obey Joseph's order, he could just report to Potiphar and they'll be done. But in prison, they are already prisoners. They've already been condemned. There's no other lower thing that they can experience. And you say, can you do this? They say, no! What else can you do? So it was a harder group to command, to exercise authority. But yet he succeeded. And he was some years there. Altogether, in Potiphar's house and in the prison, he spent 13 years. 13 years. Maybe more of those years in prison. How long was he in Potiphar's house? We do not know. If he had been 3 years in Potiphar's house, right, he had another 10 years in prison. That is a long, long time. Long, long time. But yet, in God's sight, he was being promoted. He was taking care of more people. And then the day came when he was ready to take over an entire nation. And the Bible tells us here in the book of Genesis chapter 41, verse 46, Joseph was 30 years old when he stood before Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And Joseph went out from the presence of Pharaoh and went throughout all the land of Egypt. And now Joseph was in control of millions of people. Because at that time, the Egyptian empire was at its greatest. And Joseph was the one in charge. Think about that. Hard training in Potiphar's house, hard training in the prison, and in one instant, he was promoted. His destiny was sealed. Now, what was a common factor in all his past? If Joseph had looked at the way God was training him, he could know what his future was. God was training him how to handle people. God was training how to administrate. God was training him how to rule. All the time. So the pattern was there in his life. When you look at any other life, David's life, what was David's destiny? Before Samuel came to Jesse's house to anoint David as king, you know what David was learning? He was learning how to fight and protect sheep. He was learning how to fight the bears and the lions in a place that no one can see him. And he was learning how to throw his sling. Who would have thought that David would be, in fact, David in the end up, one of the most skillful swordsmen in his time. One of the most skillful fighters. Right? We always think of David as a psalmist. He plays the harp and all that. Remember the hand that was stroking the harp was the same hand that carried Goliath's sword and go shoop and the whole head went off. David himself says in his psalm, it's God who trains his hands for war. So David learned to fight. Now, when David stood before Saul, just before the fighting with Goliath, and everyone did not believe David could do it. And remember, when you fight, It is not just your physical prowess. It is the courage in your heart. You read the war and the strategies of war in all human history. It is not just the physical military might, but it's how much courage the soldiers have that can turn the battle. You could give physical might to a soldier or to an army that may or may not give them confidence, but you cannot give them the courage that only they in their soul must get from within themselves. And you have 10 soldiers with the courage of lions, they probably can do more with 100 soldiers with hearts like rats. The difference is the bravery and the courage a soldier has. And so we have this David, and he was a courageous boy. Just a glimpse of it, right? And I could go life after life to show you how everyone has patterns in their life. In 1 Samuel chapter 17, when everyone could not believe that he could do it because he looked so physically frail. He was not a big sized man at that time. He was a young lad. And remember when he put on Saul's armor, they were so heavy, he could not move. So everyone said, how can he do it? And he is coming against this Goliath. And in fact, Saul told him in 1 Samuel 17, verse 33, Saul said to David, you are not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for you're a youth, and he's a man of war from his youth. Right? In the natural, that was the analysis. But David had been a fighter. Look at verse 34. This is David's answer. Your servant used to keep his father's sheep. When a lion or a bear came and took a lamb out of the flock, I went out after it, struck it, delivered the lamb from his mouth. When it arose against me, I caught it by his beard, struck and killed it. Whew. That's David. Now, some of us think that, you know, when he fought with all these lions and men, he was at a distance. He was just using his sling. And then he goes, swing, and then go, swing, and then he is practicing his slingshot. He was a braver man than that. David said, all he had is just a little knife. If any lion or bear, and there are no people, any lion or bear ever come near his sheep, and they take one grab any of his sheep, David was one of those who liked to go near the lion. He'll go near the lion, and I use Steve as an example. Okay, there goes the lion. And David would just grab. He grabbed the lamb out of the lion's mouth. Think how near you have to get to the lion. He didn't do it with a long stick, a 10-foot pole. He went near the lion or a bear. How many people want to go near a bear? Right. And grab it out of its mouth and probably give it a kick. And he says, when he did so, and the lion growled at him, ah, thank you, and he grabbed the lion by the beard. Ah, oh, nice. Oh, it's nice. He grabbed the lion by the beard. My friends, how many men would grab lions by the beard? And he cut the lion. That is bravery. Bravery that you learn there in the secret places of life. He's a brave, don't you think? He's a very brave fella. Very, very brave. I don't think any other shepherd boy would go that near to the lion. He goes very, very near. Killed a lion or a bear. David had no fear in his life. He had no fear of these things. And there was this Goliath, tall and big. For 40 days and night, he caused the whole army of Israel to be in fear. You read carefully in the book of 1 Samuel, it tells you that when Saul was in one camp, the Philistines were in the other camp, the Philistine came every morning and every night, every evening, he would come up and say, right, and say words to the camp, you know. Well, he could stand up, and he was a big fella. He go boom, 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 3, 4, 5, 4. I smell the blood of an Israelite, or something like that. Sorry, wrong story. Right, this is not Jack and the Beanstalk. And he will come forth, and he'll say, "Oh, you Israelites, you know, how many of you dare to come against me?" He did that for 40 days and nights. And guess what? That was the devotion the Israelite camp had every morning. Every morning they got morning devotion given by the Philistine. And just in case they forget, at the end of the day, he will come out again. Boom, 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 boom. 3, 4, 5, 4. And he would torture them in his words for 40 days until they are so scared. By the time David happened to be there, and David was not there to fight, he was there to bring his mom's favorite cooking to his brothers. He was a little boy. He was there as a dispatch boy. So here comes a dispatch boy with lunch, a lunch bag, with mom's favorite food. And as he went near, he saw all the Israelite people and his army hiding in caves, hiding in corners. And when this giant came, boom, boom, boom. You know, he heard his giant speaking all those things. And David turns around and says, "Hey, how come nobody fight that fella?" No, for 40 days and 40 nights, he reached them at the end of 40 days and 40 nights. He says, "Hey, how come nobody challenged that big buffalo up there? How come nobody is coming against him? Look, this David had no fear." And he questioned. And some of the people thought that something was wrong with him. His own brother scolded him. He said, "Oh, you came here to watch the fight." No, he didn't. He was just there standing the lunch. And that's how he ended up fighting with Goliath. Not because... Now, when David considered all things physically, it was an impossible task. But the difference was the bravery of his heart, and God was on his side. God uses brave people. You know why? Because cowards have fear. And bravery has to come from faith and courage. And true faith produces courage. And so, in the end, David went out there. He was this little boy with a stick and a sling bag. And when Goliath saw him, he said, "Ho, ho, 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 ho." You know, and laughed at David. Says, "You come to me with sticks and stones." And David says, "No, I come to you in the name of the Lord." That was a brave boy talking. Something in David was bigger than his physical frame. And so David, you know, the Bible, you look carefully. When Goliath came to him, David ran to Goliath. Now, I've seen a few of these movies that they did. And in all the movies, I don't know, they probably didn't read the Bible. In all the movies, you have Goliath chasing David. And David, you know, and then they always make it exciting. And Goliath have a few shots at David. And he almost missed David. David go. And finally, in his last breath, when he's about to be slaughtered or squashed like a fly, he gets his links down and he goes, and he throws it at Goliath. That is not the story I have in the Bible. In the story I have in the Bible, there was this Goliath coming forth. And the Bible tells us, David ran to him. He didn't run away from him.